College in Florence, Alabama, and has been preaching at the Westside Congregation here in Pensacola for the last 7 years. He has done a great work there. In fact, last week they had a meeting and knocked doors, and last I heard there had been 4 baptisms, still 4, with some other possible. So shows a lot of work that they did in that meeting. Learned to appreciate Michael a great deal and his love for the truth, the fact that he will take a stand for the truth. And so I have enjoyed his company many times as we've gone out to eat, and know that he's going to do a great job in this lesson on... That's not the right subject that's written down there. Peace passing understanding. Now then, I'll tell you this also. I have everyone's name and topic and biographical sketch, and I look down at Michael's, and it started the biographical sketch as Tim Nichols it. So had to change it and got the wrong topic this time. But peace passing understanding. Know that he will do an excellent job on that.
Be turning, if you will, Philippians 4. Let me express my appreciation to be here, to the pastorship of this congregation, and also the local evangelist, Mike Hatcher. We appreciate all of those that are in attendance, those that have traveled far distances. We're just encouraged by your presence. Also happy to have Miles and Kagan's with us. They had called me some time ago and wanted to come to a lectureship, and I recommended Bellevue. Also Tony Brooks and several others that are in attendance on tonight. I want to express my appreciation also to the Bellevue congregation in the way they supported us on last week. As a matter of fact, from Monday through Friday, there was members from the Bellevue congregation, and we appreciate that. Thou for my brethren dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which thou hast both been learned and been assured of, knowing of whom that thou hast learned them. Those things that I have learned them. And when we look at this particular section of Scripture, in Philippians chapter 4, when it says, those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. wherein you also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. I would like to begin, first of all, by observing preparatory material in connection with the assigned topic and text. This Philippian letter is in the context of the New Testament, known as the prison of the captivity epistles. There are four in number: the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, and of course the book of Philippians. The book of Ephesians has as its theme the supremacy of the church. The book of Colossians has as its theme the supremacy of the Christ. The book of Philemon has as its theme the supremacy of the person. And of course, the book of Philippians has as its theme the supremacy of the Christian life. Now, that's an overview of the New Testament section known as the prison of the captivity epistles. But what about this book of Philippians itself? Well, this particular letter can be divided into four main sections by their chapters. Chapter 1 can be captioned the Christ or the Savior center life. There are 30 verses in Philippians 1, with no less than 16 references are found therein to our Lord. Thus, we see the emphasis there is that our lives are centered in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, we see that the Christian life is the self-emptying life. It is actually required in verses 1 through 4. It is illustrated in the life of Christ in verses 5 through 11. It is exemplified in the life of Timotheus and Epaphroditus in verses 12 beginning. Then we come to Philippians chapter 3, wherein we see that the Christian life is the sound life. In the first 11 verses, Paul refutes Judaism. And verses 12 beginning, Paul refutes the system of thought indeed existing in that day and indeed existing in our day called antinomianism, which means against law. Then we come to Philippians chapter 4, where we see that the Christian life is the honorable life. But why is it thus called the serene life? Well, we find answer to that question in verse 4, where we see that the Christian life is a happy life. We find answers to that question in verses 6 and 7, where we see that the Christian life is a worry-free life. We find answers to that question in verse 11, where we see that the Christian life is a life of contentment. We find answers to that question in verse 13, where we see that the Christian life is indeed a victorious life. We find answers to that question in verses 14 through 18, where we see that the Christian life is a sacrificial life. We find answers to that question in verse 19, where we see that the Christian life is indeed a sufficient life. And as this remarkable epistle begins to close, we have, of course, in verses 20 to 22, that marvelous doxology. And verse 23, the benediction. Now, that's an overview of this Philippian letter. And as we hasten to move preparatory material, we come to the sign subject. Peace passeth all understanding. When I look at the lexical study of the word peace, There are 9 different Greek words in your Greek New Testament. In the New Testament, and 9 Hebrew words and 11 Hebrew words in the Old Testament. But we'll want to deal with the word that comes out of the New Testament that describes opposite of war, a dissension among individuals. That's what the word we want to define tonight. And oftentimes we can gather some encouragement statements of that particular word. This word sometimes means without trouble. This word means contentment. It carries a sense of divine favor. That's our study tonight of this word peace from the lexical study, which passes or surpasses all understanding. I'll be the first one to tell you tonight that I cannot explain God's providence, but I believe it. When we look at words and when we look at verses like Romans 8:28, for we know, not we guess, we think or surmise, but we know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good. We're happy tonight that it didn't say all things were good, because war isn't good, famine isn't good, catastrophe isn't good, sin isn't good. But the passage says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then when we look at other studies, and friend, it takes a revelation to know God. And while we cannot find out God to perfection, we can understand the things that has been revealed to us in his word, and we can gain encouragement from them. And I look at things like Job 11 and 7, where their pastors ask 2 questions, can't thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? We can find out God, the first question that is asked, because God has revealed himself to us in his word, but we cannot find him out to perfection because he heals God. And Job 37 and 5, he's doing great things which we cannot comprehend. Or Job 26, 14, lo, these are only parts of God's ways, but how little a portion is known of him. And Romans 11, 33, his ways are past finding out. And Ephesians 3, 19, his love passeth all knowledge. Isaiah 40 and 28, there is no searching of his understanding. Psalm 147, 5, his understanding is infinite. Philippians 4, 7, his peace passeth all understanding. But there's enough to know that he is God. And there's enough to know that we can be members of his church and pinpoint it in the pages of inspiration. When I look at this word peace as we develop our lesson now and make application, when we look at it as absent of war and dissension among individuals, there are some positives and there are some negatives. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, likewise, the antonym or the opposite of this word peace, if there's not blessed, then it'd have to be cursed, wouldn't it? And if you're not a peacemaker, you are a peacebreaker. And instead of being called the children of God, you will have to be called the sons of the devil. God hates discord. The sowing of discord is not only one of the things that God hates, but it's an abomination before him. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19. Strife is one of the 17 works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And James 3:16 says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But while God hates discord so much, he inspired the Apostle Paul to write, mark them, which causes divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, Romans 16:17. But while God hates discord so much, neighbor, he wants peace. In fact, every book in the New Testament, with the exception of 1 John, made mentions of peace. The word is found in every New Testament book except one. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus so fervently prayed before he died that all who believe might be one, as God and Christ one, that the world, not the church, that the world might believe that God has sent me. John 17:20-22. Mark 9:50, the Lord said, be at peace with one another. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:13, be at peace among yourselves. Or 2 Corinthians 13:11, live in peace. Or Romans 12:18, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. In Philippians 4, mention is made again that through love we should be on one accord. Neighbor, God wants unity. But what is peace? It is more than just an absence of strife. There can be an absence of strife and not be real peace. And Micah 4:3 and Isaiah 2:4, they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hook. As if to say, it's not enough just to stop using your spears and your swords, but those spears should be made in the pruning hook. The noble swords should be made in the plowshares. And James 3:18, the record tells us that peace must be sought and peace must be made. Or 1 Peter 3:11 is sown. Hebrews 12:14, it is to be followed. Romans 14:19, we should follow out the things that make for peace. And Ephesians 4:3, peace must be kept. The Bible says endeavor to keep it, not only to get it. You see, it's better to prepare and prevent than to repair and repent. The Bible says endeavor to keep it. And it's interesting, when we look at Ephesians 4:1 the following, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation by which you are called, with all loneliness and meekness with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Notice this, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you call it, one hope, what do you call it? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. The Father of all who is in you all, above all, through all. But three on each side, there is one body, one Spirit, one God, one faith, one baptism. But right in the middle, there is one Lord. And I believe that was intentional. Because one Lord holds it all together. Whose responsibility is it on the negative side because of this word, which it means dissension among individuals? Whose responsibility is it at the Bellevue congregation to have peace? Is it the responsibility of the elders? No. The evangelists? No. Neighbors, anybody that's big enough to cause church trouble. Because everybody wields an influence. You see, friend, nobody is going to heaven alone. By the same token, nobody goes to hell alone. Because everybody wields an influence. If you go to heaven, you're going to take somebody with you. But if you go to hell, neighbor, you're going to take somebody there. You know, in the church, everybody is either a cog or a clog. You're one or the other. Because you are actually bringing out the best in people, or neighbor, you're bringing out the worst. Because everybody wields an influence. I illustrate it like this. In a certain church bulletin, I know we have some secretaries in here, and that was a typographical error. Have you ever heard of such? And in that bulletin, that was a statement that this church is untied. Now, actually, the statement should have read, this church is united. But you see... But you see, the only difference with the word untied and united, the I is out of place. And neighbor, any time that you have a church that is untied, some I, capital I, is out of place. And Jesus wants us to be peacemakers. How can that be accomplished? Well, first of all, we need to learn how to agree without being disagreeable. We're going to have to learn how to get along without necessarily going along. You know, there's only two forces. There's a centrifugal force and a centripetal, C-E-N-T-E, C-E-N-T-R-I, P-E-T-A-L force. One is found in a whirling dish, and it throws everything to the outside, and the other one is found in a whirlpool, and it brings everything together. In the church, you are either a centrifugal or you are centripetal. You're either bringing things to the center of the Lord's church, or you're throwing everything to the outside. Jesus wants us to first be peaceful ourselves. And friend, if we're not going to be peaceful ourselves, then we're going to be at bound in odds with everybody else. And then when we look at this word on the negative side, peacemaking, that's every individual Christian's job. Not just a certain type of group, but every individual's job. And then once we become peacemakers, then we can draw that encouragement from what God wants us to do. And oftentimes when we look at the positive side, we can blow that out of proportion because of maybe failing health, loss of a job, bereavement, sickness, growing old in age. But friend, those things are temporary. And just like Brother Moshe said last night, you can't kill a Christian. You can only send him to paradise. Jesus said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in you. That's encouragement. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood. 1 Peter 1:22, love one another with a pure heart fervently. Neighbor, when all of God's children get together, based on this book of God, when we bring our hearts and our voices and our efforts together, we make all the demons in hell fall one more time. I don't have to live to be 100 and die someday and go to heaven just to enjoy the blessings of peace. Jesus said, for this cause was the Son of God made known that he might bring to naught the power of the devil. 1 John 3:8, Satan shall be crushed under your feet surely. Romans 16:20, Jesus came to grant and bequeath to us here and now, right this moment, abundant life. Jesus said in a massive statement in John 10:10, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In Romans 5:5, we learn the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13, for the God of hope in you with all joy and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And in Mark 10:30, Jesus says, now in this life, here and now, right this moment, you will receive 100-fold, and in the world to come, eternal life. All of this here in heaven too. Jesus didn't come, neighbor, to from heaven to earth to die a cruel and a treacherous death for us to always be sad and sullen and downtrodden and pessimistic and always whining, griping, and complaining. When we realize the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth not to release us from the bondage of sin and give us the hope of heaven, but to give us joy right now. The psalmist said in Psalm 127, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 37:25, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the wretched forsaken, for seed, begging bread. Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name and all that is within me. Psalm 18:19, he delivers me because he delights in me. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 124:1, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Psalm 126:3, the Lord has done great things for us. Psalm 144:15, happy are the people whose God is Jehovah. Psalm 121:1-2, I will lift up mine eyes until the hills from which cometh thy help. Psalm 23, and on and on and on I can go, neighbor. We have peace and joy sitting here right now. Doesn't that kind of remind you of the Lord's Great Commission? Can you imagine the persecution that those preachers were getting ready to undergo? And they're standing there with Jesus Christ, and he just gave them a commission to go make disciples. Disciple, yes. You go and you make disciples. You disciple all of the nations. Well, how do you do it? You do it by baptizing them. You do it by teaching them. Can you imagine Peter and those preachers standing there getting ready to suffer persecution? And they said, Lord, well, how, you going to be with us? Yes. And I'll be with you. How long? How long, Peter? Jesus tell him always. How far? Even until the consummation of the world. In other words, Peter, don't you worry. I will be with you. Neighbor, that's blessed assurance. Luke 2:14. When Jesus was born, they sang glory to God the highest on earth. And peace and goodwill toward men, Luke 2:14. Because peace is made with God through Christ, according to Philippians 4 and verse 7. And Jesus is our peace, Ephesians 2:14. He made peace, Ephesians 2:15. He preached peace, Ephesians 2:17. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace, Romans 14:17. His gospel is a gospel of peace, Romans 10:15, Ephesians 6:15. His God is a God of peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33. He made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1 and verse 20. He is called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, 6. He will keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah 26, 3. And he came to bring light to those that sat in darkness. And to guide their feet in the way of peace. Luke 1, 79. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 27. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Neighbor, we have something in Christ Jesus. And oftentimes we allow our sufferings, we allow so many things to come between God and Christianity. And I know Lords of London carry some good insurance, but neighbor, we need death insurance. And the best death insurance policy you can get is Matthew 6:33. Behold, how good and how pleasant we know that we have it. When we seek God's kingdom first, there must be a position of authority for all of us. Even when we look at Romans 8, and we see all of the things going on in there. Verse 17, if so we be suffering with him, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, the next verse, and then you get down to verse 28, we look at God's providence. We get down to verse 31, we see that if God be for us, who can be against? I may be alone, neighbor, but I'm never outnumbered. And who shall separate us from that love? And a whole list of things is named. So tribulation, distress, famine, persecution, nakedness, appeal, or sword. For it is written for thy sake, we'll kill all the day long, we'll count as sheep for the slaughter. Day and all these things, we're more than conquerors to him that love us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, things past, things present, height, depth. Now any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And certainly we're going to suffer. Any man suffer as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Well, as we hasten to a close, what is that blessed assurance that we have? Neighbor, we have the hope of heaven. We're saved by hope. Romans 8. That hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Colossians 1 and verse 5. And we desire that all of you do show the full assurance of hope. Hebrews 6. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you're sorry not, even as others which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, beginning. We have the hope of heaven, and we can withstand anything that the devil sent our way. Then finally, when we look at this word peace, before there can be Christian peace, before we can obtain the blessings of this particular word, two is going to have to be in agreement. That's me and the Lord. Now, I can agree with anybody else, but we're not going to receive the benefits of this word unless I am in perfect agreement with the Lord. In Acts 5 and 9, Ananias and Sapphira, they agreed together to tempt the Lord. That was peace. That was unity. That was fellowship. Didn't have anything to do with Christianity. What happened to them? Both of them were struck dead and buried side by side before the night was over. And Psalms 83 and 5, they are confederate against Lord, the Lord. They have consulted together with one consent. Neighbor, in order to receive the blessings of this particular word, along with several others, that you can run parallel, me or my brother, we must be in perfect agreement with the Lord. And what breaks that agreement? S-I-N. Wherefore, remember that you've been in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time Paul says, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, what a tragic condition. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for the making himself of one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both under God and one church by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto them. If you're in this assembly tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of the risen Lord, if you want Christian peace, according to Romans 5 and verse 1 and Philippians 4 and verse 7, it's made only with God through Christ. Why won't you embrace him? Why won't you recognize the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, the basic fact, the core of the gospel. Believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized in Christ. And the Lord will add you to the church. You've done so and you've not remained faithful, you come back to repentance, confession, and prayer. Well, you need maybe. Why won't you let it be known while together we stand and sing? Why don't you come?
Jesus the Lord, let his glory